When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner, Rob Langevin. Now, Rob,
yes, sir.
I have often foregone just talking to you to start the show and just jumped into issues. What's going on, man?
Oh, life's good, man. I'm sitting on a 100 burger right now. So.
Oh, yeah?
So the double game week for some has been a blah. But I guess, you know, I mean, I bench boosted, so I mean, I'm sitting right at 100 right now. So I mean, it's not a total loss. I still have five players to play. Well, it's going to be four with I don't think Marcus Alonso is going to play because of his I think he tried to kill a guy. Is basically what happened.
I think he
molested a beagle or something.
I think he killed the sheriff, but not the deputy. Or
yeah. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Could be. So a very good turnout for you this week. On my side of things, I'm only sitting on 85 with my triple captain having been played on Ericsson, which I talked about on last week's show. Now, going into the second fixture, with rumors that Kane might start and then Lukaku not starting, I was feeling very, very smug in my choice. But then both Lukaku and Kane score goals anyway, so it's pretty much a wash. 3 points less than... I would have had if I had played Kane. What did Lukaku end up on points-wise? I don't have him, so I can't tell. But anyway, so that strategy has somewhat worked. 27 points from Eriksen with a triple captain. The rest of the team has gone fairly well thus far. Firmino, Vardy, Kane, Gudmundsson, Salah, Lingard, and Long have all picked up points for me. The one disappointment is I had Robertson and Milivojevic both on the bench with points. But all in all, Rob, now that I've just blathered on about my own team for a little bit, how do you think people are feeling about the double game week thus far?
I think that their expectations for it were higher than what they've gotten so far. given the amount of talent that was there and the player pool to choose from, people had so many diverse ways that they could build their roster. You know, they were basically left with, keep Salah, don't keep Salah, go with Harry Kane, go with Eriksen. So they had star power to build their team off of. Looking at the points coming in before the game week even started, I said 100 would be a bad score. 125 would probably be, acquiesce of something. But, you know, sitting on 100 right now with four guys to go, you know, I'm kind of disappointed because I always have the I want to influence my team or have the influence that I'm going to be doing better than I am. but unfortunately, it just doesn't happen that way. You know, you pick guys and they don't perform. It happens. This is the luck of the FPL draw. You know, we can't go back and make changes, you know, on top of the mistakes we quote unquote made. But now we got two games left, and now we're on to week 35, which basically just happens on a pivot, and it happens on Saturday with two fixtures: West Brom, Liverpool, Watford, Crystal Palace, and then three games on Sunday and one on Monday, and that's the whole entire slate for 35. So. You know, and people banking on the blank week to use a chip or, you know, to make up, you know, head with some sway in their mini leagues, then this is the week that you're building for. If not, it's the double game week in 37 to come. But, you know, regardless, me and Kevin are here and we're giving you FPL knowledge from the tip of our fingers to the tip of our toes. I don't know. And everything in betwixt.
Ooh. I like that in betwixt part. It's been an interesting one. Kind of to the question I asked you, I just think it's very hard for people to be accepting of what happens in double game weeks.
Never satisfied.
Yeah, because the expectations are always so high. You look at double fixtures for, as you mentioned, so many talented players, and you kind of assume you're just going to kill it. So even when you get pretty decent performances, which I think this has largely turned out to be, Because after the first match week with no goals from Kane or Lukaku, and neither of them even looked like they were going to score, to both of them kind of reversing, we talked about in the last show, they were two of the favorite triple captain options. Alexis was my sneaky one that obviously went very poorly. But I think it's very hard for anybody to be pleased. But as you say, the past is kind of the past, except for the two matches that haven't happened yet at time of recording. But it's time to look forward here to match week 35. Now, I know you're planning on free hitting. I think that seems to be the consensus right now. If you've already free hit, I hope that you built towards this week. As I have, I think, let me just click on my team real quick. I think I have 8 players playing right now. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I have 7 to 8 players right now. No, it's actually 8. I was like, what about Schmeichel? He doesn't play this week anyway, but he is probably going to miss the match tomorrow for those listening to this in time. But anyway, I think 8 is okay. I'm probably going to get up to 10, I'm thinking. Just making a couple moves, and I'm more than comfortable with that. Rob, free hitters obviously have their lives made. If people don't have their free hit, how many players do you think is the minimum to kind of survive next week?
You know, if you came into this week and you don't have your free hit, I think that you should have you had to have planned to have at least 8 already in your team. You couldn't go with a double game week knowing that you were going to come out of it with less than 8 players total. I'm saying that's 8 out of 15. So, I mean, if you have 8 playable bodies, I think you should be okay and you won't lose too much ground, because I don't know how many people, you know, are going to. No, you can't say that, you know, I'm going to pick the right starting 11 for the free hit and they're going to do something, you know, prosperous for your FPL futility, you know, your future here. But 8 guys is probably what I would say. I would probably pick, you know, I would have the 3 Liverpool guys, 3 City guys, and, you know, make sway with everybody else. You know, maybe a Newcastle player here or two. But there's players here that are huge differentials now with you know, Sergio Aguero's news, Marcus Alonso money coming back in everyone's pocket now. I mean, it's going to be, you know what, this is the thinking man's week, whereas the double game week is more of like, I'm just going to throw darts and I'm going to win and stuff. This is the thinking man's week, because you have to pick guys where, okay, everyone's going to own Salah, Firmino, Mane, Robertson, Van Dijk, some trio of that Hydra that I just listed. And you have to build off of that, you know, try to find a differential there. And don't forget, after you free hit, your team goes back to the originating team. So if you're not free hitting, you should be planning ahead to game week 37 as well as 35. But you probably know that already. So me saying it out loud, it's just being, you know, rhetorical, because we say this every single game. You know, we've been saying it for what, the last 5, 6 weeks now?
Yeah, that you should pretty be much ever since planning that 31.
Yeah, you should be planning from 32 to 37, all encompassing in one, you know, big battle structure. But yeah, it's going to be a fun week. It's like I said, I think this is the thinking man's week. There's differentials abound, because I think City are going to rotate, but not rotate a lot, but rotate enough that it's going to throw a monkey wrench and some confusion in there. You know, Watford Crystal Palace game could be just completely the Indianapolis 500 of goals. I'm excited. Game week 35. This is where only 3 weeks to go.
Yeah, it should be an exciting one. Quick question for you on Gabriel Jesus. How do you feel about him now that Aguero is confirmed out for the year? Is it somebody that you think will play every week rest of season, or do you think he'll rotate and they'll do that Sterling false nine thing?
You know, I think he's – you could say he's probably not knotted on, but I don't think he – you know, out of the 4-5 remaining fixtures that they have – yeah, they have 5 remaining fixtures. They have a double in 37. So he probably starts 4 out of the 5. So, I mean, that's probably as banked as you can bank on a City player being in the starting 11 there. I think the one game will probably be where Sterling rotates in and does a false 9.
Yeah, and there's very few of the big clubs where you can guarantee more than 4 out of those 5, because United, Tottenham, and Chelsea all still have the FA Cup. Liverpool still have the Champions League. So you're still going to see a lot of rotation at those top clubs.
Totally, 100%. And now that, you know, Arsenal still, you know, has the Europas as well.
Yeah.
Do
you like Jesus then?
Yeah, I do. I think that I think he's a staple item moving forward. I think this, you know, we're still in April, so we still talk about Jesus.
There you go. For those that don't know, the remaining teams for City: Swansea, West Ham, Huddersfield, Brighton, and Southampton. That is a pretty tidy run, and you assume that Jesus, with just four matches, might be able to match those with five if anybody does indeed play all of those for any of their rivals. I put rivals in air quotes. Nobody could tell that because this is an audio show.
I saw them. They made an everlasting impression through the airwaves.
Oh, nice. Could you feel it at home? Let us know in the comments down below. Be sure to smash that subscribe now. So I very much like Jesus as well. And we'll talk about rest of season strategy as well. But this week is all about just getting in players from each of the available teams. You mentioned, Rob, that there should be some pretty interesting ones on offer. So like we did in blank game week 31, we're just going to run through each of these matches and just mention a guy or two that we like, maybe somebody that we hate with a fiery passion that burns deep down in the pits of our souls. But we'll lead in with West Brom versus Liverpool. We'll start with West Brom. Do you buy into anything they did last week in real life? And if so, does any of that translate into fantasy for you?
I mean, I buy it a little bit, but I think they're going against a different beast in Liverpool than they did against United in the first game. I wouldn't invest defensively in too much in this. I know that Liverpool may rotate a little bit and rest some guys. You may not get a full mastery of minutes from Mane, Salah, because they do have the Champions League come inbound. So I think he wants to save some energy for there. But West Brom, there isn't really an offensive player that you could really bank on there. I mean, if you want to be different, like a differential, J. Rodriguez 5.3, he's somebody you could probably look at. But defensively, you're not trusting anybody for a clean sheet or a goal. You're not definitely not banking on Ben Foster doing anything good against Liverpool. West Brom to me is a one and done pick only if you want to be a complete differential. But if you do pick a West Brom offensive player, try not to invest heavily in a Liverpool and counteract yourself and go and pick two or more Liverpool defenders.
Yeah, that's a DFS advice that I think is very well stated for this particular week is don't play against yourself.
Don't counteract yourself. Pick teams that you think are, head and shoulders above who you think are. I think three Liverpool players are a must. I think three City players are a must. After that, you're pretty much left with, I would probably pick and choose which side you think in Crystal Palace, Watford is going to do well. And then Everton and Newcastle, those probably fill out the rest of the roster. Arsenal, who knows who's going to play up front? You could trust in Aubameyang, but are we going to trust that? Because Lacazette has actually been showing some decent form lately. And, I'm not confident that the guy you pick will be the guy you're rostering. And I don't have much confidence in rostering a Lacazette. Maybe an Aubameyang, but I don't think I'd throw my hat in the Lacazette ring. I know we're jumping ahead, but
yeah. We may as well just finish talking about Lacazette versus Aubameyang. I personally was expecting that I would bring in Aubameyang this week and play him rest of the season, but the fact that the next two matches are United and Burnley, who both have top five defenses, all of a sudden I'm just, especially with the mix between the two of them, all of a sudden with the Aguero injury, it's looking really clear that I want Jesus instead of either of them.
And I literally was just going to pivot that back to you. Would you rather have Aubameyang or Jesus the rest of the year? Jesus. They're very similarly priced, 10.5, 10.0. So.
Yeah. Back to this particular match. Solomon Rendon continues to be an interesting option statistically. If you're in a draft league, he's more interesting just because he's going to get you all those aerial duels. But top five in touches in the box over the last 5 weeks and has been so for about the last three of them. Just an interesting counter shot. But as you say, you don't want to own a Liverpool defender and a West Brom attacker. You basically need to choose your side before you set up your team. Should be noted, Liverpool not as good away from home, but they have been a little bit better away since signing Van Dijk in January.
Yeah, other interesting about J-Rod, three goals in four games. So.
Yeah. J-Rod is a sneaky guy. Also, did you see that the last two title-winning goals were scored by Chelsea players? It was Hazard the Leicester year, and then Batshuayi for you last year, and then J-Rod this year.
J-Rod,
And we had Richard Burns on, who's our City correspondent on the EPL show, and we were joking about how he deserves a winner's medal from City as well. But anyway, as you said, people already need to know who they own from Liverpool, and anybody should already have those players in their team if they're not free-hitting, and if you are free-hitting, you're just bringing in the Liverpool players you own already, unless you were unfortunate enough to take out Salah and watch him score at the weekend. All right, plowing into the Watford Palace match, you mentioned that this could be an absolute goal fest. It could. I think Palace are 13th in defense and Watford are not good.
Not goodish.
I think they're bottom five in defense, if memory serves. But I think they're second worst, actually. But anyway, Sorry, we're kind of recording off top for people that haven't figured that out yet. But anyway, obviously you have to have Milivojevic. Our good friend John Wallen put on Twitter the other day that it's a greater sin to not own Milivojevic than it is to own Salah. And for price, it's hard to argue that.
Yeah. Yeah. For, at 5.2, Milivojevic giving you 134 total points on the year. But everybody's seeing the returns lately. That's what's killing everybody. 10-9, 10-9 in his last four. 3 goals, 2 assists during those 4 matches. I think he's probably the first Crystal Palace player you should be picking this week. Mm-hmm. I think he's even over Zaha, who scored some goals over the weekend. And you'll probably end up picking Zaha as well.
Yep.
But because I think that personally, I'm leaning towards the Palace end of this fixture. Yes, it's on the road, but Watford is just not showing anything defensively that they could do. Maybe Holobas fouls more at home than on the road, which is probably statistically a fact. But yeah, Milivojevic for me is, you know, the budget midfielder of the year for FPL.
Yeah, I love Milivojevic. I love Zaha, who you also just mentioned. I have no problem with people owning both of them if they want. Also, Watford have not won in their last 6 meetings against Crystal Palace, which is a little ridiculous.
Why you gotta bring up old stuff?
Yeah, right. You always bring up old stuff. Who on Watford do you fear is gonna score right now? Because Will Hughes and Pereira are setting up chances, but Danny's not scoring. Richarlison hasn't scored since like November. Yeah. Hasn't even been playing lately.
Remember when Richarlison was a thing?
Yeah, that was a good time, and then it just freaking stopped. But anyway, yeah, I'm all in on the Palace side of this, even though they are away at Vicarage Road. Right into what's up?
Yeah, I was just gonna say there's nobody on Watford that I can see being like, okay, he's gonna score a goal. It could be like a Decore game.
Yeah, it could be. And if you go midfield, you're avoiding the fact that Watford are definitely gonna concede because they keep not keeping clean sheets and Palace keep scoring. So it does look pretty one way traffic. Although crazier things have obviously happened.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On to the Sunday fixtures, Arsenal versus West Ham, a little bit of London derby action. West Ham were showing a little bit more fight and then didn't. Arsenal were showing a little bit more fight and then didn't. Who do you think is going to out-disappoint each other here?
I think the biggest question is it Arnautovic or not to Arnautovic week? That's the whole thing. I've safely predicted like him blanking like 4 out of the last 5 times that he's played.
Yeah, I owe you a 6-pack because I thought Arnautovic revenge game, which I really need to stop saying because they keep not panning out for me.
Everybody plays for everybody now. Everything is a revenge game. Yeah. I mean, you have to favor Arsenal in this, but I think the big conundrum is who would you side with? I don't love anybody in their midfield. Mkhitaryan's
and I wish I did. It was such a bad timed injury for Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, oh, awful. You know, and Ramsey is still a doubt. Otso is just in the clouds somewhere. Hope he's not on my cloud because there's a lot of porn on there. Granit Xhaka has just been a complete disappointment. Iwobi is just blah. Remember when Jack Wilshere was a thing for like that 1 week? He's not anymore.
Well, I remember when people were saying Wilshere should go to Russia over Dele Alli. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a hilarious thing. Defensively, there's going to be goals in this game. There's a lot of games that are tough for defense this week. I think one of your defenders is probably a Liverpool player. You're not choosing one from Watford Crystal Palace. I don't think you're picking one from Arsenal West Ham either. So that eliminates, you know, 5 teams already that you're looking for defensive, mastery from a clean sheet.
I think if you were, Monreal's the only shout, and it's only because he's randomly scoring goals sometimes this year.
Yeah, but the one good thing in everybody's favor, if you are free hitting, you're going to have a ton of money because I'm sure that you set your roster up like accordingly, that you have so many big price names in there, and there's nobody on this fixture besides the City folk, if you want to – that's funny, City folk. But If you want to load up on like the De Bruynes and the Jesuses, then you'll obviously spend your kitty on that. But for Arsenal, I'm failing to see who I feel confident in checking and going, okay, he's in my team, because I want to get two or three Arsenal players in there. I can't even hit on one guy that I want to roster besides Aubameyang, maybe positively, kinda.
Yeah, and again, we both have question marks on Aubameyang as well. Yeah, this one's going to be interesting. I do think Arsenal end up winning it, but it's hard to say just based on recent fixtures. Although I would like to say that my first full betting article was published at the weekend, and I talked about how Newcastle are probably going to win at home. And then they did that. So thanks, Newcastle, for making me not look like an idiot my first time out. Next up, we're going to talk about Stoke versus Burnley. Now, Rob, not to brag. But absolutely, for sure. I held on to Goodmunson through the injury concerns. You know, we basically heard 80% he was going to be fine. Took that chance, kept him. Also, with my free transfer, moved out Angel Rangel, Angel Rangel, Angle Rangel. It's said the same way, both first and last. Up to you how you want to pronounce either of them. And I moved up to Long from Burnley. And then Goodmunson assisted Long for a goal. And Long is a grand total of 4.0. And so in that Milivojevic vein, I think especially for this week, Long is a must-own for you. Not only is he playing for a good defense, although they keep conceding one goal a match. It's very Tottenham of like 2014-y. Where like they look stout in West Brom, was that last year, 2 years ago, where like they did a really good job the whole match but still conceded a stupid goal every now and again. Remains, Burnley have a top five defense. Long is a starter in that defense at 4.0, and looks just an absolute steal. Goodmunson creates everything for them. Wood gets on the wait did Wood score again I think Wood scored again did he assist Wood did Wood, something
Wood did score
Wood scored again God he's on a ridiculous run as well. I know there's kind of limited options this week in terms of fixtures. Is Wood sneaking into your free hit team?
Yeah, I think Wood will be in my free hit team. I want to touch on your Long thing. Ben Mee is questionable for the week, so Long may not be a starter.
Yeah, I don't think Mee is going to come back this
week. I don't think he is either. I'm just saying, so Long is monopolizing on Mee. On Mee's lack of playing time. And that's not me talking in the third person. That's been me, not me. But yeah.
Have you always been you?
Because you've been unless I'm with others, then I'm us.
Then you're Ben us. Got it.
So, Wood is five in his last, what is that, five and six games? Jeez.
And two were off the bench, right?
Yeah, three were off the bench.
Jeez.
Three were off the bench, yeah.
Craziness. But yeah, yes. I think I speak for both of us when I say we're very pro Burnley on this one.
Yeah, very, very pro Burnley. Stoke is just oozing points fantasy wise to their opponents, except for
real life wise.
It's just abysmal how many points they give up to the midfielders and forwards on a weekly basis on an opponent. It's crazy that they're in the top two. I think they have been for like the last like 14 weeks of points like given up to their opposing teams.
Yeah.
It's not going to get any better this week, even at home. Burnley. I think Burnley are the other team that you should have one plus another. So if you're RSVPing to the blank week, you're adding a plus one for Burnley.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Now on to the confusing and or potentially big one. You keep saying own three City players. I currently own none, although I do intend on bringing in Jesus. What do you think we're going to see from City the week after they won the title? Because I think in particular we see nothing from Sterling, who has played a lot of matches lately.
I don't think we see anything from Sterling. But what does the midfield like look like for City? We have Gundogan playing. Leroy Sané's probably going to play. You have De Bruyne, who's pretty much included in every team. That's the whole question mark. After Jesus is up top, who else fills in the midfield there? I could probably see it being very similar to what we just saw with the clinching team, but maybe one or two changes. You may see a Bernardo Silva jump back in. You may see I wouldn't
Stones
be surprised.
Stones might get involved.
Yeah, Stones. I may maybe a Yaya Toure glory start at home.
Yeah.
They only have one more home game after this, so it could be a Yaya Toure sit you know, glory run here. But yeah, after City, you really want to look at after Jesus, rather, you should really look at who you think will be a differential from someone else that you're chasing. Is Vincent Kompany going to score again? Probably, or assist again? Probably not. Is Vincent Kompany even going to play? Probably not. Who knows? We can't ever tell with Vincent Kompany because he just trips over the sidewalk and he's done for 3 weeks.
It is worth noting, though, that they have no other competitions to play in.
Yeah, that is very true. And, you know, someone look for it or for something cheeky and they want to be good for the end of the year. Me and you had a good talk about Benjamin Mendy being involved in the squad, not necessarily this week, but in future matches. Are you looking at him like possibly down the road, or are you waiting for like a clear cut? All right, Mendy's going to be in this squad, so then I'll maybe add him that week.
Yeah, I picked him up in draft already. Which you should do if you're in draft leagues. But you know, I'm waiting on FPL. You know, I'd much rather see somebody play first before bringing them in. I'll hold a player an extra week, but I tend to not buy them a week early. So I would like to know that he's involved. But here's the problem is once you've seen him play a week, you might not see him the next week because he might be in a rotation with whoever's back there these days, Zinchenko or Delf or whoever ends up being back there. I think they even played Laporte back there in the United match, if memory serves.
Sounds like a good cheese.
Hmm?
Sounds like a good cheese. Yeah, I'll have some Aramaic Laporte.
Aramaic. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be hard to trust these City guys, but I think that's why I like Jesus so much, is he's who I know is going to play. Yeah. De Bruyne probably is safe from all that. And weirdly, I think Sané's safe just because there's not really another left-sided pacey player that they have. They could do Bernardo and Sterling if they wanted on the wings. They could do that cheeky De Bruyne on the wing thing that they did a lot of last season. Mm-hmm. But all in all, I'm basically saying Jesus definitely, De Bruyne probably, and kind of avoiding the rest of them.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I'm just, like I said, I know Jesus is definite. I think De Bruyne is probably your 1B.
Yeah.
Depending also, on how
Ederson is an interesting goalkeeper shout rest of season.
Absolutely.
Because I mentioned their remaining fixtures that they have, and they are not difficult.
No, I think Ederson is probably my third one of my, because I have zero goalies going this week, and it's 5.6. Transfer is nice from De Gea, and you still save a couple pennies. So, yeah. But yeah, Ederson would probably be 1C after Jesus, De Bruyne, then Ederson. I don't think I would trust any of the defenders there. I don't know if Danilo is going to play. You could see, like you just said, John Stones, and then you'll have some mix of Laporte, Otamendi, Walker, Kompany, some mix-match version of a lineup in there.
Yeah. I will say Danilo might actually be a decent shout since they cover for both left back and right back. That he could play right back when they rest Walker and left back when they rest Mendy when he's back.
And he did sit against Tottenham, so he's fresh.
Yeah, like that might actually end up being a weird, sneaky, useful one. But I'm not sure anybody would be risky enough at this point in the season. But maybe if you're trying to climb your league, Danilo could be a good shout, although they haven't been keeping clean sheets the last couple weeks.
Yeah. And you're not looking at Swansea for any options here, right? You're not looking at anything
cheap. I'm going to be honest. I don't really hate them. Like, in my team, I still have Mawson, which is scary. But I'm not benching him. I'm not taking him out for a zero instead. Just because we don't know what we're going to see out of City. I mean, we've seen City turn off before, like the halftime of the United match. For stretches against Liverpool three different times. Like, usually his sides are very well drilled and very kind of ruthless for 90 minutes. But we've seen some gaps in that armor lately. So I obviously don't like that I'm playing Mawson, but I don't hate it enough to take him out. Also, Tammy Abraham is starting to get more involved. Jayu has been great when he's played, and he just got back from suspension last week and scored again off of a brilliant Tommy Carroll assist. I say brilliant because he barely laid the ball off to him.
Yeah.
but anyway, I'm not confident that City keep out Swansea in this one. And if I felt so inclined, I think Jordan Ayew, a.k.a. Jayu, and Abraham could be interesting differential shouts if, again, you're really trying to climb up your league.
Well, like Wesley Snipes always said, go with the odds and bet on Ayew.
I'm pretty sure I remember that. What was that, Demolition Man? Anyway.
Passenger 57?
we'll wrap up here with Everton versus Newcastle. Newcastle kind of on a run lately. Ayoze Pérez kind of been the star man, although Jonjo's been creating like a mofo lately. The defense has also looked pretty good, really only conceding goals against teams better than themselves. But they've made a strong push, not only to stay up, but maybe even make the top 10 come the end of the year. Everton, obviously, have just been kind of on a slow backward slide all season. Obviously, they're going to be safe. But is there anybody on Everton you trust? And if not, is there somebody on Newcastle that you think can capitalize?
I think Perez is a great shout. I think that you could probably go with Wood, Jesus, and Perez as your three striker set, and then build four strong midfielders out of, you know, Liverpool, get Mane and Salah, have a Man City, have De Bruyne, and you'll still have money because the two cheap strikers will be your, you know, basically your chip into the, you know, the cheapness there. Everton just doesn't ooze anything confident wise for me. This is one of those games I went back before. This is another game I don't really like any of the defenders. I think that if I was going to invest in a defender, I think I'd buy a Newcastle defender before I'd buy a Baines or anybody on that Everton squad. They just haven't done anything lately to just garner any of my attention. They haven't had a clean sheet in the last four games, and that's not good. It's not good.
Do you think it's good?
No, it's not. Actually, they have one clean sheet in the last four. I'm misreading it. I apologize, but it's still not good.
I hate Lascelles. I'm going to be honest. I'm not overly confident Everton score.
I love Lascelles. I think that next year Newcastle's going to have a hard press time to keep him. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be looking to buy him.
Yeah, he's been the quiet one. Everybody's been looking at Mawson and Maguire, but Lascelles having a great season. And I wouldn't be stunned if he somehow wound up on the plane to Russia for the World Cup.
And Vanderhorn has been playing very, right? He's very Dutch,
Swansea. But he is at Swansea.
It's very Swansea.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you, although I do think Newcastle won this one. And as you say, Perez is a really good shout. Also, people have just kind of turned off Kennedy. Like at that one point, everybody shifted Vardy instead of Mahrez, which ended up being wise because Vardy went on a tear and Mahrez hasn't really been involved with late. But just kind of keep Kennedy in mind. He was huge like 2 weeks ago. Everybody bought in, and then they're like, oh, he's garbage, and then they've sold him again.
Robert or John?
Yeah, exactly. He's still a very good player, though, and has really helped unlock this attack. Yeah. All right, so that's it for those matches. Let's quickly go through our teams. Do you have a draft up of your free hit team?
I don't. I was waiting to see what happened this week.
No worries.
Well, but my team will consist of three Liverpool players, most likely three Man City players, one or two Crystal Palace. Burnleys. Yeah. Couple Burnleys, a do-si-do,
Yeah, a single, maybe like a chopped cheese.
Ooh, yeah, maybe like a nice, a good wine, nice port wine.
And
a nice Chianti.
Yeah, what's that New Jersey ham thing?
Taylor's ham?
Yeah, Taylor ham, yeah.
Taylor ham, man.
Yeah, you gotta get on board with that. Folks.
Come to Jersey. I'll buy Taylor ham for everybody that comes to visit.
Word.
And put it on a burger.
Oh, it's also almost your birthday, isn't it?
It was. You missed it.
No, was it?
Yeah, you missed it.
I thought it was late April.
No, you missed it. You missed it. It was Sunday, 15th.
My bad, man. Well, happy 25th birthday.
Yeah, again. For the 15th year.
Yeah. So anyway, since you're still kind of waiting out to see, but you did run us through what you're looking at. My team as it stands right now, Fabianski and Mawson against City, again, pretty concerning, but Robertson against West Brom, Long against Stoke, don't hate either of those. Milivojevic against Watford, Salah against West Brom, obviously has the armband on him right now, and Goodmunson against Stoke, don't hate either of those. Firmino up front, those are my eight. I'm thinking I'm probably going to bring in Jesus and Zaha as my two additions, but also keeping Kennedy or Perez in mind. But thinking those are the directions I'm most likely to go this week. Also, I was very proud of myself for bringing in Salah as a single this week when he scored. And then I realized that I dropped Sterling to get him in, and Sterling had a goal and assist. But I still think it was the right call because I was looking for a triple captain option to challenge my Eriksen thinking, because until I brought in Salah, it was so clearly Eriksen. Like, you couldn't really trust Sterling, because what if he got rotated out that week and stuff? He really should have had, like, two goals and an assist, and then it would have looked really stupid. But anyway, that's what I'm looking at this week. Again, probably going to bring in Jesus and Zaha, but may get a little funky there as the deadline gets a little closer. I may pull the trigger on Aubameyang since I'm just going to wild card the week after this anyway. But time will tell. All right, Rob, any parting thoughts? I know this is a bit shorter one, but there's a lot less matches.
Yeah, don't even if the double game week hasn't been as fluid or beneficial as you wanted it to be, don't give up on FPL. There's still 4 weeks to play.
Or it's do fun. It helps our overall.
You know, I mean, compete against – pick the one guy you hate in your mini league the most and just aim for him. That's it. And try to beat him and then talk mad smack to him and then, you know, set his car on fire. Don't do that. I'm just – but have fun. This game's supposed to be fun.
Right. Don't set cars on fire. You heard it here. Probably not first. More people in your life have probably told you not to burn cars. All right. That'll do it for us today. The Pirates are one of the best teams in baseball. How are your Yankees doing? All right. Well, in case people want to hear more about baseball, especially your stuff over there on Razzball, tell folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter, FPL_MNOP. And like Kevin, just so vehemently expresses interest in razzball.com. I do baseball and soccer over there, so stop on by, say hello, and I'll probably yell or curse at you somewhere.
I know Rob just used the S word, and it's important that he remembers that every time an American uses the S word, a British child dies. My good friend Tom McGookin told me that. Anyway, I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at KevRuff on Twitter. You can find my writings over through Goal and Goal Betting for fantasy and betting, respectively. You can also catch me as the host of the EPL Roundtable, where we talk all things Premier League. This week, it was largely about Manchester City, understandably. You can also listen to the Championship Roundtable, where obviously they talk about a lot of the championship teams, like Wolves, who you're going to need to know a lot about heading into next season, as they've just been promoted. So be sure to keep a wary eye and or ear on all of those things. Rob, absolute pleasure as always. People at home, we wish you best of luck this week, unless you're in our mini leagues, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.